Hello, party poopers. This is Bianca, your favorite podcast host from Late to the Party. And I think we might start the podcast now. How about that?
We interrupt this podcast with an announcement coming out of Melbourne. Ladies and gentlemen and members of the press, thank you for attending on such short notice. Now, as you are aware, there has been a lot of rumours in the press regarding my Facebook Messenger exchanges, and the media have not helped in this regard, nor has Bianca's opinions on this matter helped. Due to the scrutiny over this ongoing situation, I felt it important to provide you an update. And that update is...
Oh, the band got back to you. Oh, because Dan told me there was something exciting, except that I wouldn't find it very exciting. And you know what? You're right. It's you know, it's of interest. But no, I'm happy for you that they got back to you. How long did it take?
Amazing. Well, let me provide the context just in case. So there's a band, a Melbourne punk band that has since broken up. And I've got all their records and I've met them, signed, had them signed and so forth. I sent them a message and I said, I want to do an episode on neurodivergence and being in a band. Do you think anyone would be willing to come on? Is anyone neurodivergent? And they said, yeah, sure, I'll ask. And then nothing happened. And then I said, have I freaked you out? On the podcast, we talk about not being able to read people's expressions, and I came up with, I'm sorry, what is your face saying right now? I need one from Facebook messages too, it seems. Well, how long was that? Was that, what, 5-6 weeks ago or something like
that?
Yes. Unbelievable amount of time. And all of a sudden, I woke up in the morning and the first thing I do is I check my phone.
Yes.
And I see if little, you know, those little messenger circle things pop up if someone's messaged me. And then I looked at it and I went, it's very small, but I think that's the band. And I clicked on it and there it was. And it was a hi, sorry, !! 3. We're not keeping up with our inbox very well now that we're retired.
Oh.
I can ask this person if she'd be interested. So in the end, I was right.
Oh, that they were neurodivergent.
And they weren't ignoring me. You were telling me that they were totally ignoring me and I was never going to get a response back. But I did.
So, okay. Yep, okay. So they're going to contact. Yep, okay. Well, but there are other situations with other people that you've contacted that didn't get back to you.
That's another band, yeah.
This is good. No, this is good.
But now I can wait. It could be years, but still, you never know.
Yes. And so have you replied and said, yes, please contact?
Oh, yes. Yeah. And then I also said to them that there has been an ongoing and very funny discussion on the podcast. I can't wait to give them an update.
Oh, excellent.
So who knows how long it'll take for them to respond to that one.
But I'm not sure what percentage of our party poopers actually care.
They have been waiting with bated breath. They haven't had an opinion on the matter. No. However, I know that they are very personally engaged with this ongoing drama, and it's going to be an incredible relief for all of them to finally know that they've been in contact. They're safe. I'm safe.
Yes.
We're all safe.
It doesn't make sense when the band isn't together. They're not really going to check very often.
Well, I would, but that's me. That's what I'm saying is that there must be something in the way that they don't see, or maybe they have to log in as that as that band.
No, that's true. Or like, you know, because I've got my Celebrant page in the winter, I don't go into it very often.
Yeah.
Or Instagram. Did you contact them on Instagram?
No.
Oh, okay. All right.
Oh, so there you go. I hope everyone can calm down now. They can get on with their lives.
They can sleep. They can sleep now. Yeah, that's really exciting. So tell me, what have you been up to in your neurodivergent world?
I've been hyperfixating on recording over the weekend, for one, because my manager at work, he likes to rename lyrics from songs. He's another sort of music freak like me. And I said, well, I'll record some songs, those two songs if you want, which was Papa Don't Preach and by Madonna and Papa Won't Leave You Henry by Nick Cave.
Okay.
So I
what
said,
are you doing? You're re-recording them with different words.
Yeah, with different lyrics.
Why?
Because that's what he loves to change the lyrics on songs.
Oh, so he writes them.
He writes the lyrics and makes them funny? Personal to whatever that, you know, the situation.
It's a joke, a funny thing or not?
It was. I don't understand what he was talking about because I don't know them. They're his mates. So I had no idea what I was singing about. But I did it anyway. But I went 150,000% on it. He was expecting me to come back with a little guitar-y thing, but of course I've tried to recreate what the Madonna song sounded like and the Cave song sounded like. And I think I did a pretty good job of it. And then I even tried to sing like both of them. Madonna, okay. I don't know if you remember, Madonna, particularly when she was younger, sang like she was crying.
Go.
Sort of, what is it? I can't remember. It's sort of that, she's got that sort of weepy sort of sound to her voice. And Nick Cave obviously is loud and.
I don't know what he is, but I know what she is. Okay.
And so I sent them off to him this morning after finishing the recordings and he was blown away, which is really lovely. It was really nice to get that.
That's really good. And then I think, well, your wife has also been hyperfixating, in my belief, on fish and aquariums and what are those things called? The glass bowls with.
Well, you're the one who wanted one, so what is it called?
I don't remember.
It rhymes with Bavarian.
No. but no. I can't remember. I would normally know.
What do you call a Bavarian with testicles?
I don't know.
A terrarium.
Okay. Oh, right. Yes, that makes sense. Yes. Terrariums is right. So she's loving her terrariums right now. She told me that you are also loving it.
I've done my first one.
Oh, wow.
I'll post
it. Did you like it?
Did
you take a picture?
It was fun as. I'd do it differently because I saw a video of someone who goes and finds stuff more than goes and buys it at the shop. Mm. So I went to op shopping with Henry and found some big glass jars that I want to try. And then I went out and walked around and found moss and little plants. So I put found objects in mine.
Yes.
And it's fantastic fun.
Yeah, I post it on the page. I'd love to see.
Yeah. Yeah, and I cleaned our fish tank as well, which took forever. It was very stressful.
To be honest, I know a little bit more about this.
What do you mean? Oh, you're talking about her tank.
Yes. So you took your whatever that word is, you took your ADHD medication. Why don't you tell the story?
She wanted to put some more plants in there and I said, well, she said, well, there's stuff outside. Why don't I get some of the stuff that floats at the top? And I went very quickly walking out there and I grabbed a whole bunch of it and I came back in there and I essentially just walked over and just threw it in there.
Yeah. After she'd already conditioned the water in preparation for these fish that she wants.
And now it's still cloudy, even though I promised it wouldn't be.
Yeah.
And I got overexcited
and
stuffed it up. So I'm going to have to fix that for her.
Understandable.
But I cleaned out the other fish tank for Eloise's one and I had quite a dramatic situation. I thought I'd almost killed the fish. I took them out because it was so bad, like the bottom, with all the stones and stuff. There was poo everywhere. And so I took the fish out and put them in a separate spot and then I started filling the water out back up after I cleaned it. But I filled up too much water. So when I picked up the bowl with the fish in it to pour in, it started overflowing all over the desk.
Wow.
And then I had to put the fish back down, but there was hardly any water in there for the fish. Mm. So they were laying on their side looking very upset with me. And I was running around trying to take water out of the tank and I was running and threeing into the – oh, my God, it was a nightmare.
Did your wife know about this?
Yeah.
Oh, she didn't tell you. Tell me that.
Oh, no, Jen doesn't know about that. I told Eloise. But they're very happy now.
Yeah, oh, good.
I didn't kill them.
That's good to know. Okay.
Speaking of Eloise, Not that you've listened, but the end of our fabulous interview with Michael Theo from last episode, I added a song that Eloise and I had done some recording on. It's Rivers and Roads by Head and the Heart, and I put a little bit of that song in there. So just in case anyone's wondering.
Oh, you sang on there?
Hmm.
And I thought I'd listen to it. I listened to the...
At the end? No, you listened to what I didn't send you the whole completed thing. I added some extra, you know, just the intros and
that sort of stuff. Okay. Oh, I'll have to listen then. That sounds good. Well, asking about what's been going on in my neurodivergent world, well, I did have – there was a birthday in my family this week on one of my kids. So, you know, you have to have like the birth – the birthday, and that was all good. And but then you have the party thing and, you know, they went roller skating, which was interesting. And then on to having like five girls sleeping over on Saturday night. And I think they went to sleep at about 3:30 in the end. But I just shut the door and,
you know. What, in the one room or how did – help?
Yeah, in the lounge room downstairs.
In the lounge room, okay.
And then we had the dogs all sleeping with them as well. But, you know, I mean, I'm going to say they're probably all neurodivergent girls as well. So it was fun, I think. Yeah, I think they all probably had a good time and just did those things that they – well, they're all in the same theatre group as well, so that worked well because then they just practiced their production.
The dogs would have loved it.
Yeah, but I mean, it just does take a lot out of you when you're having these things. And we've got birthdays like August, then we have two in September. This is in my family, my household, and then one in October, one in November. Then you've got December is Christmas. So
yeah, it's similar with us as well.
Yeah, it is, isn't it? Just
it sounds like you had one of the attendees was perhaps a little bit more, required a little bit more attention than others.
Yes, that's very true. But as long as you know what you're getting into,
right?
I think it's okay.
And that's the thing, isn't it? It's going to be a common thing for parents of neurodivergent kids not being invited to parties.
Exactly.
And so it's up to us to make sure that we don't have the same sort of patterns and behaviours of not allowing kids who might require a little bit more attention to show up. Yeah. Otherwise, they never get to go anywhere.
That's exactly right. Yeah. So
you did well, that's your compliment. So we don't have to do it later.
Oh, okay. Yes, I did well. Thank you very much. Thank you. I think your wife said I did well as well. So that was good. And Paul, husband. Yes, that's good. So anyway, so before I guess we get into the podcast, you did a podcast with Nicholas McHill.
McMahill?
Oh, McMahill, that's right, sorry. So I found him on, I think, Facebook about 6 months ago. I've just been following his journey since then. I thought that it would be a good idea for us to interview him, probably more so even you, I guess, because I thought it would be a great chat that you'd have, but I was planning on being there. But I forget what happened now, but I think my car had to go to the mechanic. It was just all fell apart. It was a crap day and I just couldn't do it. So, you had an interview with Nicholas. I feel like you went, you know, I've just listened to it already. So I think you went very well in my absence. Congratulations.
Well, I tried. Like, it was a delight to talk to. We had a lot of laughs. And I also made sure that, as I mentioned in our chat, that I was going to ask proper questions so I didn't get told off later on for just making him laugh and just talking silly the whole time.
And it's really good that you do know that you would have got told off. That's important for you to know. But you made him laugh, and then I was laughing a lot because you were making him laugh, and he just thought you were a cack up or crack up or whatever he said. He just thought you were very funny, and you were. You actually, it's interesting to see you, like, you're not masking, like pretending, but you just your different masks. It's interesting for people to see you in, I guess, that different situation.
Yes, I think it's. And I'm similar again with kids as well.
Yes.
I like to, I suppose, play the big character, you know.
Yeah, and you're different with, different people. But, I mean, Nicholas was diagnosed with autism at 16, which I kind of think is pretty late. So that's why we thought we would interview him, you know, although, he seemed to think, I think, that it was quite – like that he should have been diagnosed earlier.
Mm-hmm, absolutely.
It's interesting because he's only 19 now, so I'm surprised that he's only been diagnosed recently. But then he seems like a great advocate, because often when people are diagnosed when they're, you know, late teens, there's huge struggles. I'm sure he does have struggles, but he's like out there and advocating.
He is. And that's it. It's only a couple of years, as you said. Yeah. It's amazing. He's just running with it, and he's doing everything he can, particularly in his local community. So I just think it's fantastic.
Yeah. Okay. Well, without further ado, let's listen to it.
Let's go. Now, I've started recording, okay?
That's fine.
Just remember, I'm not recording your face. Right? Not that you don't have a beautiful face, but we're just not recording video.
Okay, yet. That's fine.
So it's better so we can actually, or we can look at each other, or we can not have eye contact and look at each other's foreheads, which is kind of hard, like, or in between the eyes. I'll look past you at all the things you got in the background. Yeah, see, there. That's where I'm going to be looking. You've moved, like, back the other side of the room, and that's where I'm going to be looking. So, yeah, just fix a few things up for me. You haven't got any funny, pretty pictures or something.
Oh, Dan, you are such a trip, brother.
Well, this is the problem, though, see? Bianca's not here to keep me on track. That's the So she's going to be like, why didn't you ask him this? Why didn't you ask him that? So I'm trying. I'm going to try and ask all the questions she's expecting me. Did you watch Love on the Spectrum?
No, but I've heard of the show.
Good. You know, the amount of people I've asked, like, it was a really popular show. A lot of people watched it. And every person I've asked has gone, no. Like, come on. It's the best show.
I plan on watching it, though. I've heard it's good.
It was fun.
I haven't got a chance to watch it. That's the only problem.
We spoke to – hang on. I'm just going to raise my microphone up a bit. We spoke to someone who was on the show. And Bianca had to keep the both of us on track, because all we wanted to do – was like Hanna-Barbera characters, like Yogi Bear, and who had the best Yogi Bear voice, and she just kept having to get us back on track and continue with actual questions.
Mm-hmm.
How's your Yogi Bear?
What?
Can you do a Yogi Bear impression?
No, I don't think I can.
Well, what's your favorite cartoon?
Well, growing up, I guess I'm a Disney fanatic.
Okay, yep.
My name is named after Nickelodeon. Most people consider that.
What's that? Wow.
So sometimes my nickname is Nickelodeon because I was named after Nick. The network NICK, Nick.
Wow. That's a great one. I like that.
People associate my name with that, which I think is kind of very funny. But honestly, to me, it is at the same time. But again, I don't want to be called a Nickelodeon Network.
No, absolutely. You might get in trouble. How much money do you have? How much money do you want to lose to get sued by Nickelodeon?
They won't sue me. They know Nick's a common name, though.
That's true. And it's a good name for adding things to the name. Like, if you wanted to do a series of videos where you have something negative to say about someone, you could call it Nick Off.
Oh my God, Dan, you are just making me laugh today.
Well, you can have that.
This today.
That's yours if you want it.
Well, let's get into this, because I don't want to.
Now, I want to know, one of the sort of the titles that you have on Facebook is Nicholas, the Neurodivergent Warrior.
What's that all about?
It's now Nicholas's journey, basically.
I know, and I got confused.
Gotcha. So Nicholas's journey is what my official name now on Facebook. That the page, that page talks about myself and my journey and where I can also help others that are on the spectrum. Not giving them advice, but giving them some feedback on what they do to improve themselves. And like maybe give them suggestions, but not give them actual advice. My page is only there to just help them get through things that they're struggling and like basically be there for them, a support them.
Yeah. It's a tough one, isn't it? Because, you know, if we're not a qualified psychologist or something like that, you have to be careful, don't you?
Yeah. Well, I'm not giving them medical advice or anything else. I'm just giving them just suggestions, like what they can improve themselves. I'm not really giving them medical or physical advice. I'm just saying like, hey, if this is not working, try this or try that.
Yeah, like emotional support and your experience.
Yeah, my experience.
Yeah. When were you diagnosed?
With autism or ADHD. Is that
Hey, Google, stop.
Okay, I was diagnosed with ADHD at 5 years old.
Right.
And then I was diagnosed with autism at 16.
At 16.
Which now is almost, 16 is almost 4 years ago now.
Wow. So that's still relatively late.
I'm actually 20, so technically that is 4 years then.
Yeah. Do you consider that late?
I do consider it late. I think my teacher should have checked me or said something before. Yeah. I wasn't the one who noticed it. It was one of my teachers growing up that noticed it.
Yes.
Because I'm going to tell you this, even being autistic, I never wanted to go to school in the beginning of my high school freshman year. Mm-hmm. I failed my classes and everything.
Mm-hmm.
And I literally, when I look to myself then and to myself now, I've accomplished so many things.
Yes.
I'm still working on getting things accomplished. Like with our city, with my city right now, I'm trying to get an autism proclamation done.
Oh, what is that? Tell me. What does that mean?
Basically a proclamation that states that Galesburg will celebrate the people that are autistic in the city of where I live.
Wow. How are you going about doing that?
So I'm waiting until next, when Autism Month is, going down to City Hall, talking about it, confronting them in front of them, and then here in the next few years, I'm going to start a committee, and I'm going to try to plan some autism events.
That's a really...
Have a committee behind me to help me run it.
Okay. Have you been inspired by, has there been any other places that you've seen this happen and work?
No, but I feel like our community, even in Galesburg, is small for autism parents.
Yep.
And I feel it should be recognized as me being an autism advocate myself for where I live.
Yep.
I've not seen much advocacy work shown because I'm not doing this business-wise. I'm doing this for city reasons, because I feel like our city needs somebody to stand up that's autistic and talk for them, like basically represent, if you know what I mean.
Yep. Oh, absolutely. And I guess when I asked the question, have you been inspired by others, and have you seen it set up elsewhere? And
no, I guess I've seen a need for it.
That's my point. Is that there is none.
Yeah,
and that's a bit sad. And so you are a trailblazer.
Mm-hmm. And honestly, I've honestly mentioned that to a lot of my followers on my page, which you guys follow. The late party follows my page. You guys know that I've talked about myself. I've shown even photos of myself doing volunteer work.
Yes.
My goal is to eventually get my name out there where people will say Nick's out in the community doing this, or Nick's out doing that, or something that so I'll be recognized and I will be given recognition.
You also you note on your on Facebook that you are athlete slash volunteer at Special Olympics.
Yes, so I'm a Special Olympics athlete.
Doing what particularly?
Basketball, track and field, bowling, and I think that's it.
You sport. Think that's it? That's quite a bit.
But yeah, I have one state title under my belt for state champions.
Oh, have you got an actual belt that tells you that you're a state champion?
No, I have a picture to prove it.
Well, why isn't it behind you?
Because it's out in my front room.
Oh, there's a movie. There's an Australian movie called... Go on.
Hold on.
Oh, okay, yes. Okay. Now, Nicholas is just exiting his room. He's going to go and find, I think, evidence to support what we're talking about. And I was just going to mention the castle, the movie The Castle, where they said it's in the pool room. So maybe he's going to the pool room to see what he's got there. Not quite sure. Now, we're going to also find out how long it takes for him to go and get this, how big his house is, too. We can have like a guess how big, how many square feet, win a prize. Okay, so then, no, it's been a while so far, so this is interesting. Now, how many? That's been about 15 seconds. So, oh, here we go. Okay. So, he's just returned to his room now. So, we should have. Here it is. Here's the picture. Aha. So, there's a whole lot of. There's high fives going on. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. I think I see about six or seven people. And uh-huh. this was one for basketball?
Yes, that was my state competition. Well, technically that was my regional competition, but sadly because of COVID,
yes.
they basically put our name in a hat and we won automatically. So that qualified us for a state. Well, yep. I guess scratch that. No, this is prior to that. There we won twice, but one in person actually.
Oh, they should have done it on PlayStation, so you actually played. You still got to play basketball, but it was just a game. What's the difference? You get less sleepy, less clothes to wash that way.
Yeah.
You know, my son. He loves sport. He just adores sport, and he does tennis comp. We also went and did a day of soccer, and he was so dominating playing that they had to sort of take him off for a while just to let the other kids, you know, get a chance. And then he's kept saying, oh, can I go back on, please, can I go back on? They said, well, you're only allowed in the back half, and this was playing soccer, similar to, you know, gridiron and American football, Australian mm-hmm. And even though he was at the back half, he was still trying to kick goals. He was just kicking over the heads of everybody. That's like, have you seen all those videos, particularly of the basketballers throwing the ball when there's 2 seconds to go and it going through the hoop?
Well, no. So basically in our game is that there's like a couple seconds. We try to get it like in basketball for Special Olympics. You're supposed to try to make it to where, well, I guess – you're trying to make it fair for everybody to play, but you're also making it a little bit competitive. You're not, like, hard, hard competitive.
And this is it's time when someone like my son just wants to do that. Now, I also wanted to check also, what's this chapter president at Best Buddies?
I was supposed to be that, and yes. Sadly, I've not been able to get anybody in my chapter.
What is chapter for those of us? Because we don't know, we don't have that.
Basically, it's a group in one chapter. Basically, it's like one group, one person.
Oh, I understand now. Okay, yes. So you can have various chapters in, say, different states.
Yeah.
That makes sense. Okay, then. So is that something that happens at school as well? Do they have that?
Yes, they actually have that at colleges too. There's a chapter for Best Buddies at Knox College, I believe.
Yeah. So what, I live. You
always at school? Did you ever homeschool?
No, I was always in actual school.
Me too, yeah. And so what are the things that you, like, let's go with a negative first. What's the things you hated the most about it?
Well, what was I thinking? Honestly, I failed at the beginning and that I just never wanted to go to my high school year because I knew I'd honestly fail.
Yeah.
Beginning and starting a new chapter in my life. I didn't think I'd actually ever succeed, but finding out that later on I did because I went into another program that helped me get back on my feet and let me get to where I want to go.
You're lucky. You're lucky you had that. I never, because it was, this is years ago for me, and it just wasn't, there was nothing out there. There was nothing to support. So every year I almost failed every single year. So it was just the worst experience, you know, because I never knew if I was going to be held down. And my parents thought that I had no future, you know, and I was a smart kid as you are. And it was just that it wasn't supporting the way that we learned, you know, following.
Yeah, I can totally understand. Like here, when I began my school years, like I kind of once I got my diagnosis, I got all the help I needed. Yeah. And some of the people that have helped me are still sticking with me even after I graduated high school. Like I'm trying to go back into the schools and work with our special education department to teach kids. To teach regular kids, but also to teach regular staff.
Yes.
Like a workshop on how to deal with somebody if they ever interact with somebody that's autistic or have ADHD or is special needs.
I think that is the single most important, useful thing that we can do. Yeah, that's amazing.
And it's also a need because some of them are getting bullied. Maybe if those kids that our special needs are getting bullied, maybe that teaching this like a workshop or a class or something once I'm able to obtain my degree officially, that's something I would like to do and personally work with the schools or maybe even be a staff member within our local school districts doing this stuff, helping the special education department with these things just so that the regular kids can learn too. That to not bully because I'm sorry to say this and say it on live, but karma will get your back when it comes to bullying people with special needs because it won't be the kids that'll be getting you back. It'll be the parents of those special needs individuals. And I'm not calling on any parents to say that's bad on here, but that is the truth. Yep. Not the kid physically with special needs will not come back at you. Yep. It will be the parent.
Absolutely. It's interesting because, as you said, that this is the sort of thing that could really have a great effect outside your area where people can look at how you went about doing it and learn from that. It'd be amazing.
I mean, has there been any bullying where you are not you personally in school at your son's school? Hasn't there been bullying there?
Yep. With my son is amazing. He's also ADHD and he's incredibly good at gathering friends and people around because he's so animated and he's so fun.
Was he ever bullied or anything?
Not a lot. He has been a little bit. It was my daughter that was bullied more than my son because she was quieter. She was like me. And so
is your son has ADHD. What about your daughter?
Both. They're both autistic and ADHD. Except my daughter, like myself, our ADHD is inattentive. So it's a little bit more everything's internal, you know, keeping it hidden, keeping it secret, keeping your emotions to yourself. Whereas with Henry, it's more, he's lots of fun and he's, you know, runs around and he's good at masking by just being louder and fun. But he still has the same challenges. It's just that he deals with it different ways. And he does bring people to him, whereas for myself and for my daughter, that was harder. It was a lot harder. She had no real friends that she really got her and that she got. Mm-hmm. But when she got to the high-level school, She found them all.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it's been fantastic, but she still gets bullied.
Mm-hmm.
Still. But the way she's handling it is different, which I'm sure you sort of, I'm sure you've had to talk to people about this.
Well, yes. Well, many, many years ago when I was first diagnosed with, we had to deal with it because somebody decided to steal my scooter growing up as a kid.
Right.
My actual scooter.
Oh.
Somebody that lived on my property thought it would be okay to steal my scooter that I was riding on outside.
Hmm.
Out from under me. And what? We had to get legal action involved. Well, not legal action, but the police involved. Because this person wasn't wanted. They were a kid that was my age. But they were my age now at the time.
Oh, okay. Yep. Yep.
And they thought it would be okay if they stole my scooter. And my mom was like, nope. My parents were like, nope, that's not gonna happen. We're getting your scooter back.
That's good.
Well, the cops retrieved it and gave it back to me. And I'm like, thank you, because that shouldn't be right. Nobody should be stealing.
No, no, it's awful. It's awful when people are confronted by such negative. And, mm-hmm. and it is, like you said, the more that you can talk about these things and make people understand, I think the less chance they're going to police will have to be able to get away with it.
Yeah. I know this is your podcast, but I'd like to throw this out on there.
Go for it.
When you have time or Bianca has time, I'd love to have you both on my show to talk about your neurodivergent journeys, like dealing with ADHD and autism, whether it be you together.
Yep.
I don't mind it, or it could be you two separately.
Oh, no, it would have to be us together. That makes, yeah. Because it's, yeah, I'm just the co-host. And from what she said, I'm the least important one.
That's bad.
So I have to apologize. I'm sorry that you're only getting me. And you're not getting the anchor.
Oh, my God.
Maybe yeah. You'll come up again and you'll get the upgrade.
Uh-huh.
That's the way she sees it. So rude.
Oh, you're funny. You are now, so funny.
I have another question, and my Chrome has disappeared on me. Okay, so I wanted to talk about post-school, post-university, college, or whatever, and sort of around what do you do as far as work? Do you consider this is part of work?
I guess volunteering community work, but I do plan on going back to college. I kind of sucked my first year of college.
Yep.
I failed everything. I only got maybe a 40% average, and then I got cut from my FAFSA and everything, but I'm trying to go back, going to try.
To study what?
Go to do tutoring this time, because last time I felt skittish and scared to it because I didn't think that they'd have somebody that was like me that could actually help me physically.
Yep.
Because they haven't been around somebody that's autistic and have ADHD.
And someone who understands the way that you learn.
Yeah, I'd like to have a tutor that would understand me and actually help me.
Yes.
Not just say, oh, quit blaming your autism. I'd like actually somebody to understand. Like, I'm not trying to blame my autism.
Nope.
But my brain's like going,
exactly. And that's a good thing if you were going to study at a neurodiverse college. But you're not.
No, I'm going to study at a community college.
And we have to do, and we are the ones who have to change ourselves to try and fit. Well, no. Yeah. Bugger that. No. So if we're forced to, then we do need help to learn the way that they learn.
Mm-hmm.
I've
talked to a few of my friends that are at the college now. Once I get my medical stuff done, I'm going to eventually get my appeals set for FAFSA so I can go back.
Yep.
Because I've learned from experience and going out in the community now, I've understand that it doesn't hurt to ask for help. Like, if I feel scared, what I'm going to need to do is talk to myself and be like, Nick, you need to do this.
Yes.
Or you're not going to succeed. I mean, I succeeded so much with not being in college, but there's some limitations. Like, if I want to eventually do something that needs a degree, I'm going to need a degree.
Okay, so you do recognize that you're a successful person now, do you, or do you not?
Yes, I do.
That's good.
I'm going to limit myself because there's some things in the world that you need a degree for.
Yes, of course, of course. But often you can, like I know I do, you can often feel down about yourself, mm-hmm. that you've got a success, that you...
Yeah. I eventually would like to become a peer support specialist for people with autism and ADHD.
Me too. Yeah, absolutely. I think it would be fantastic. It's something I'm going to be talking to with someone else in a future episode to look at getting that. Because I used to be a support worker years back. And guess who I was really good working with?
What?
Autistic boys! I was really good.
I'm going to throw some names out there and eventually maybe see if you guys can reach out to them too, because I also have a couple autistic friends that I watch that I'm actually friends with personally.
Oh, please, please.
Her name's Jennifer, but her Facebook name and her page on Facebook is called The Art Hub.
The Art Hub?
Yeah, The Space Art Hub on Facebook.
Art Hub. And what about the Just the Who of Us?
Just the Who of Us? That is my friend Rhea, and she's actually ADHD.
Yes. Yep.
So after this thing, I recommend following those guys because those could give you really good insights on things too.
That's really good because we're always looking for those people, and we're looking for a community to be part of.
Mm-hmm. But, yeah, honestly, I've grown. Like, when I first started my page over 2 years ago, getting close to my three-year anniversary to this page that I created 2 years ago.
Okay.
It's been amazing how I found a lot of people. So I only started with a small batch of people.
Yes.
And almost had over like 500 followers.
Yes.
And where I'm at now, 3.4, from now until then, it has been amazing of how much support I've gotten from a lot of people.
Yeah. You put the work in. You put the effort in.
Yeah. Well, no, and eventually I've also gotten a lot of followers from bigger pages. Like Finding Cooper's Voice, his mother has followed me and has recommended my page out to some of her people because she's finally had a chance to meet me on this platform. And Cooper is autistic but nonverbal.
Yes, yes.
But he learns how to speak. It might not be the normal speaking way, but he's learning how to speak, which that amount amazes me. People that are nonverbal that learn eventually how to speak later on and become verbal talking, that just amazes me on how much work his mom and his family have to go through. But to me, it's fun. And honestly, I love getting to see a lot of the stuff that they do on their page, like Sawyer and a few of the others on their pages. They're amazing. They're amazing people. They're an amazing family. And honestly, I'm happy to be on their journey, and I'm happy they're on mine.
That's fantastic. Do you have other special interests?
What do you mean?
Other special – like, are you into – for me, I'm obsessed with music all the time, lots and lots of different genres of music. So I spend a lot of my time playing music, thinking about music, writing music. Do you have anything like that?
I guess just blogging is my interest, about me.
Yeah. And it looks like it because you do put so much effort into it.
Huh?
You put a lot of effort into it, so it doesn't look like a real special interest. And because you're so motivated, that's why you're being quite successful.
Mm-hmm. Because I love what I do. I love sharing my story with other people and letting people know about me. Like I'm not. Hold on. I was going to belch for a minute there.
Let it out. Just us boys here.
I know. But no, I thought I'd be scared to open up about myself, but I haven't because I've gotten so much support too.
Yes, you're lucky. That's great.
People. And then one of my also my biggest supporter is an actual parent for autism. She runs a show called Autism Live.
Autism Live.
Her name's Shannon Penrod. She's another best person to check out. I would recommend her a lot. She has some amazing guests on her show, like Dr. Doreen Graham Boucher. She is works in the field of autism.
Yes, I know that person. Yep.
How do you know Dr. Doreen?
I just through online seeing, you know, name pop up.
She's amazing. That's amazing. I've also followed, like, even he's now six, Elijah, Autism Journey with Elijah. He's another person that I recommend checking out.
I'm going to write all these things down so I don't forget. Okay, I'll look them up later.
But yeah, they are amazing. And I honestly, it's amazing where I've gone from following them to where they've shouted me out. I've shouted them out, kind of giving that back and forth thing.
Exactly. Reciprocal. It's the way to do it. It's important to grow a bigger community and to for other people to find you. This is what's been so lovely, to have people, not a lot of people do necessarily get in contact with you, but you know just from the contact you do get, that you do make a difference, you know, for people.
Well, and I've got people, random people messaging me that followed me and asked, like, if they wanted to be a part of certain things. And I've reached out to them, the people that follow me, because here eventually I'm doing an autism panel. And I'm actually looking for potential guests to have on my show that are autistic and talk about their experiences and talk about many different topics in the autism community, because I feel like some of these topics don't get talked about a lot. I haven't set a date or a time or anything yet, but what I ask from anybody that wants to be on the panel is I ask that they submit a clear picture of themselves, because I'm creating art for the event.
Oh, cool.
To where everybody can, like, see the people who are featured on the panel.
Yeah. Oh, I like that. You'll see on our page, there's going to be some photos of me from a proper photo session. I think I talked about it on the last podcast.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to necessarily look at the pictures myself, but they are going to be out there. And so a good professional photograph can actually help to make whatever you're presenting look professional too. And that's why I want to ask you next about your beard, your lustrous beard. Now, with the beard, look at me. Look, now people have seen me enough to know that my beard is white, and it's been white for 15 years now. Right? It started when I had children. And what I tell them is
I'm sorry to say this, but you almost look about my dad's age, Jan. I'm sorry to say that on the
podcast. No, father.
My father is in his 50s, between 40s and 50s.
That's right. That's me too. I'm going to color my beard. I'm going to color it, right? I want to know your beard. You go gray, what are you going to do?
I'm just going to let it go.
Yeah?
I'm going to be like my dad, because honestly, I don't really care.
It would be nice if my hair was grey as well, but it's not. It's taking way too long to go grey, whereas this went white, and I keep getting called Santa every Christmas.
Oh, that's the same thing my dad gets called.
Well, look out. That's your future ahead. If you want to keep the lustrous beard, that's your future.
Oh, oh, oh.
That's right. I've actually had to dress as Santa before. Doesn't do much for the confidence.
I'm actually looking for a couple of headliners to headline this panel. So I'm wondering if you and Bianca, right? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, so it's going to be an online.
But it's going to be online. It's going to be kind of like this, but it's not going to be recorded. It's going to be on my page.
I mean, if you want to fly us over and set us up in a beautiful hotel,
I'm doing the panel virtually. I'm not doing it in person. I'm doing it virtually.
It'll cost you, what, $15,000?
Oh, no. No. I'm doing the panel virtually, and I'd like to ask you and her to be one of my headliners for the panel.
Absolutely. We'd love to be part of it.
Do you guys know anybody else that's autistic that would love to be on the panel that could voice their opinions?
It's an interesting one. We should start swapping, like we've been doing. And also look on our page and look at the people who are on there, because there's a lot of groups and so forth as well. A lot of our stuff would be local, and it would depend if you wanted someone who's a local support agency here in Australia, and whether they make sense for you or not.
Oh, wait a minute. So I was thinking you were in Canada. But no, I that's what I was, cause you, it sounds like you have a Canadian, it sounds like you have an accent.
No, that, this, Canadian, this is my Canadian accent.
Well, so Australia and Canadian kind of sound similar in a way.
Well, it does with my voice. I don't think, if I went full Australian and I spoke a little bit more Australian, then this is a bit more Australian, and I don't sound Canadian at all. No bloody way. But I don't do that.
But no, so I actually know a little bit about Australia because I grew up watching a TV show on TV called, I'm brain purple, what was the name of the show? The Irwins. Have you heard of the Irwins?
Oh, of course. I've been there. I've been to their zoo.
So I grew up watching the dad, the mom, and now the kids. Now the kids are carrying on their dad's tradition that sadly passed away a few years ago, which is still up. So that's
absolutely. He's wonderful. They're amazing.
But, yeah, they're dedicating a lot of his legacy on in that museum. And that is so much amazing. I think the dad wanted that for them.
Yes.
They wanted to dedicate his legacy and keep it afloat, even though he's gone throughout the museum.
And he's lucky, though. The kids are passionate about it.
Yeah, they really agree.
Yeah, they're wonderful. The zoo's fantastic to visit.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going to let you go. I want to let you go.
I'm going to be taking minutes at this meeting, so I have to make sure I'm ready to talk.
All right. Well, it was nice having me. I enjoyed talking.
I love that you said that. I love that. I say to my kids, please, please now provide all your pleasantries, all the things you're supposed to be doing, like saying goodbye and thank you. I love that. You do that for me.
Well, if you guys want to find me anywhere, I'm on Nicholas's Journey on Facebook, and all that.
And the links to your YouTube and all the other things are on there as well. So you can go through that.
And find me. So if you have any other questions, if you would like Dan to have him reach out to me or to give them my contact information, you can.
Yeah, absolutely. No problems at all. People can't find you, they can come through us.
Okay. Well, Dan, thank you.
Thank you. It's so good to talk to you. Next time, I'd like some pictures in the background. That's all I'm saying.
That's fine. All right. Talk to you later, Dan.
Take care, mate.
Bye.
Bye.
Yeah, so I thought we might move on to our favourite segment of our show.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what it is?
Text. Mm-mm.
That's it. Text. Mm-mm. Do you have music for it?
Of course I do.
Okay, great.
It's you. It's your only vocal performance on any of these little song bits.
I'll have to listen to it.
Oh, God.
All right, go. Text. Fuck ups. Text. Fuck ups. Text. Fuck up. Text, 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 text.
Okay, that's enough. Now you've got enough. Oh, now.
Okay, so what have we got here? So we got some great feedback on last episodes from our Scottish party pooper.
Yes.
And basically found our accents uncannily correct.
Brilliant. No, not mine. Yeah. Not mine.
Oh, no, no. She said they were, like, they were absolutely amazing.
Okay. That's very kind.
Deny it. We're multilinguists. We are very,
maybe
very.
You are. I'm not. But okay, that sounds good. So, all right. So, are you saying you'd like to do an accent?
Well, I think it's always important to try and continue that, you know, theme along. Is there any other accents that you know? How about I do another sort of English one? Are you doing there?
Is that so an English person?
Yeah, like a farmer, an English farmer.
Okay. Okay, but you're the kid and I'll be the dad.
All right, so I'm green. Okay.
Yep, go.
Hey, Dad, remember when I killed that butterfly and you said no butter for a week?
Eh.
Oh, and when I killed that honeybee, you said no honey for a week?
Eh, that was a month ago. So what?
Oh, our mum just killed a cockroach. Should I break it to her?
No, that was your favourite, wasn't it? That wasn't really a text.
I think our accents change as the text goes on.
It's because I can't do them. But yes, it's terrible. Okay, I can do an Australian accent.
I'm not doing this one. You're doing this one.
Okay. All right. Okay. Hey, I just drank an extra large black cock and I'm like shaking.
Wait, what?
LMFAO. Not even going to correct that. I'm dying. I meant coffee. Bah. LMFAO. I can't even do that. LMFAO. I'm lolling so hard. I have laughy hands and I can't text. Hold on, but they didn't say what. Oh, I did say that. Yeah, they meant coffee. Like, I just drank an extra large black coffee. Not an extra large black cock. And then you have like these visuals. And then that she's shaking. Funny. That's a good one.
Oh, God. Okay. I haven't even looked at this one, so I won't even read it on. Let's see.
Well, I'll go first then, because I think that's a female, maybe.
Yeah, how you say we do French? French accent?
Okay. You know what? I've never tried, but I'll try. Okay. So I think I've said my father is German and I can't even do a German accent. So I'm going to try the French one. No, I can't even do it. I can't. Let's do English. Can we do English?
Okay. I can't do it
either. I could be English and you could be French.
Mm.
Okay. I've got a huge problem. There's cum stuck in my ear. And I can't get it out.
Oh, why do you have comb in your hair, Bobby? I don't even want to know.
Gum, damn it, gum. I'm going to have to shave my whole head. Jesus, Mary and Jerome. Joseph, mother ducker, I'm done. I lost the English accent.
It was going did. That's what I'm saying. They change.
I've got to think of two things at once. There's two things to think about. I could do it if I had to write it phonetically, then I could do the accents.
That's true. That might be a good idea because I don't know what the hell I just did.
No.
But like it certainly wasn't French. I'm going to call it ancient French.
Okay. Okay. That sounds good. Now, I thought that we both might do a recommendation today, not just one of us.
Good.
Because I saw that yours was music and I thought people are going to be disappointed with a recommendation being about music.
No, they're not.
Yes. But that's okay.
This is a song that we discovered. What Henry and I have been doing lately in the car is we've been putting on a playlist of new music and we've been basically giving them a score out of 10. Mm. And I've been adding it to my 2023 playlist if I really like it. Okay. And we've been having a lot of fun doing that. Henry is a very low scorer. He doesn't like a lot of music. So he's a big fan of Queen and Dolly Parton.
Does he actually like music or is he just pretending?
He likes some, but it's not the same way that I like music or, you know.
Okay.
But he likes just, he, I think he just liked, he liked giving it a low score and seeing my reaction. I think that was the biggest part of it. But one band he gave a 6 out of 10 for, which was amazing, was
tell me about it.
Brand new band. I don't know where they're from. Anyway, it doesn't matter. They're called Fizz, F-I-Z-Z, and they are brand new. They've literally only got 4 songs out at
the moment. Are they Australian?
No, I think they're English maybe.
Why don't you ask them to be on the podcast?
Ask me if they're neurodivergent. It'd be good timing because they, you know, they weren't.
They're not famous enough yet.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm blown away by this band. I absolutely love it. It's fun. It's sort of indie poppy fun. The clip is very colourful, and they all dress very Indian alternative. And it's, the song goes all over the place, which I love. Here we go. She's going cross-eyed and wanting to fall asleep. I think you would like it.
Okay. Well, why don't you play, I think you're allowed to play, 6 seconds or 7 seconds.
No, people can go and look on it. It's called High in Brighton.
Okay. Well, why don't you put it in the notes?
Put it in the notes.
And then I might.
High in Brighton, high in Brighton, ah. There you go. I won't get in trouble for that.
All right. Well, I have a recommendation, and I think you'll be really happy to know that one of them is music. Shock, I know. Music.
Musical?
No, just music in general, because music makes people happy.
Does it? Well, it didn't seem to have that effect on you a second ago.
I actually didn't mind hearing you do that little bit, and I think, oh, that sounds interesting. Maybe I could listen to that. But I was reading a book, and in that the person was talking to a First Nations, Australian First Nations person, and that person said that in your culture, the most important 4 things are music, dancing, food, and language. And I thought, yes, they actually are. So I'm going back to basics. You know how I'm becoming a hippie. Mm-hmm. I'm like, let's just ground ourselves, start at the beginning, listen to music. I'll start with music that I love already, that I already know because I need that. And then I'm just going to listen to more music. I'm going to dance. I'm not sure whether I'll go to a dance class or whether I'll just dance in my lounge room. I'm going to focus on food. I thought about making a different meal, like an Indian meal 1 week and then, Chinese and just doing all that sort of thing. And then I thought, no, Bianca, basics. Go back to basic good food.
Good German food.
Good German food. Oh, and actually then I was thinking Italian because I'm part Italian too, but just good food and putting a focus on good food. And I don't mean healthy or anything in particular, but just good food. I'm just going to call it that. And language. I haven't quite worked well, actually, for me personally. I do have German relatives, and so I think I'm going to go back to just Duolingo and learning the language because I will go back to Germany and we will go back to Italy. So instead of cramming it in just before, why don't I just start doing it now?
Oh, see, I thought you meant you were going to mind your language.
No, I'm not going to mind my language. No, language, just I'm going to learn my language of my cultures, which culture, German culture, and a little bit of Italian culture, but not really. And just even using your language, you could be communicating. It doesn't necessarily mean words, does it? Does language mean words? No.
Well, I suppose music can be a language. That's what I was thinking when you were talking about the 4 things. Because music's also an information exchange as well.
Yes.
And particularly for the First Nations people, they use music as a means to maintain stories.
Were you laughing before about me saying I'm going to be dancing? Were you thinking I was going to be doing First Nations dancing?
It'd be interesting. I think it would be incredibly insensitive of you to do it unless you actually went to a lesson and got taught.
No, I wouldn't do it. I think that I just need to get into just try to feel things a bit more. You know how you can go, what's that thing? Have you heard of the thing called Lycra? People probably know what this is, the dancing in the dark. You can wear whatever you want. The music is blaring.
Really?
I know they do it at the Warrandyte local hall. It's in the dark at night time and you just can dance crazy, whatever you want to do. No one can see you.
That sounds very dangerous.
Oh.
I put my hands in the air. I'm waving my hands around. I've got the old hippie dance still going on. So I'd take people out.
Yeah, okay. I'm just trying to find out what it's called. Can you play some, like...
While you're looking at that, I would say also that within the First Nations, dancing is also storytelling and passing on of those old stories as well, because they often play the characters and the movements they do are often like emus and kangaroos and that kind of stuff. So it's, yeah, particularly for them, those four things are very much all integrated.
Okay.
And have made sure that those stories, because they've never been written down, have made it to last for so many thousands of years.
Well, I would probably, yeah, like it's, and it's better not to have things trying to memorize things, like even for your exams. My tip is really just interpretive dance it and then you'll remember.
That'd be great in an exam. Pulling back the chair.
No, but remembering when you interpretive danced it. Like, you know, sometimes you can listen to a conversation, think of a conversation you had. Oh, that's right. It's four molecules because I was talking to so-and-so and they said it was four when I thought it was five. Do you know what I mean?
Oh, I see.
That's how I can remember. But the answer is it's called, it's called No Lights, No Lycra. Look it up. I reckon it would be worldwide. No lights, no Lycra. Or you don't have to wear Lycra. So you just, no one would even know. You can wear whatever you want, dance however you want, and no one is watching you. It's in the dark.
But why don't you just do it at home then, if that's the case?
Because it's still fun to go with music pumping and lots of people there because you're getting the energy of all the people.
Stuff
it's just not. Yeah. Oh, okay. I understand. You don't like all the people.
That's no. It. I do the dancing at home. I do that already.
Yeah, fair enough.
But I think for learning exams and that sort of thing, dancing wouldn't work for me. I'd probably do food. So if I would be allowed to, I'd probably take a little walk with me, and if I need to remember a particular answer, you know, maybe that answer is chicken teriyaki, and I'd cook it up, and then I'd remember what the answer to the particular question was.
It sounds like it would take you a long time and a
it's
lot
a very
of
food. Long test. Yes,
yes, yes.
And I require a lot of space to be able to do it as well.
True. Now I was thinking about some listener feedback we've received a little bit this week.
Mm-hmm. Well, you were thinking about it, or were you thinking about what I was thinking about?
What were you thinking about?
Well, I was thinking about one of the party poopers, Claire, had asked us about transcriptions, and I said that I would sort that out a couple of episodes before, and I haven't. So I just wanted to apologize to Claire and anyone else who's waiting. I am still on it. I know with the way we're recording this today that it actually does do transcription, so I actually should maybe be able to go back and get some of those. I'm not sure.
Hopefully.
But I'm still working on it. But with our other recording software, it doesn't do that. So I'm still not sure how whether I can feed the audio into some other program to get it. I don't know yet.
Yeah, there should be something.
Sorry.
Right. What?
I'm just apologising.
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, I was talking to a party pooper last week who told me that they like my voice on here. They said it sounds calming. They like hearing my voice. They said it's not masculine, it's not feminine. And then there was a pause because I was thinking about that. And then they apologised. Was I offended? Not offended, but it's something to think about because I do agree. I don't have a feminine voice, but I don't necessarily have a masculine voice, but I'm happy with the in-between, and it was nice feedback to receive as I don't generally like the way I sound on here, although I'm sounding fine now because I'm focusing on it, but when my brain is all over the place, it's just try to get as many words out as you can.
Yeah, that's true, and I do that. My voice goes higher when I'm not paying attention. I've noticed that too. But you also have, in one of the previous tech step-ups, you have play the character of someone who's neither masculine nor feminine. And so it's actually a little bit deeper. So you are probably more going alongside to the feminine voice.
Why, thank you. I do see there's a compliment because I do identify as a female.
Mm-hmm. And your in-between sounded more boyish.
Right, because also I'm tall. I'm 6 foot. So I think tall people will always, tall females often feel a bit more masculine. So you feel like you need to dress more feminine. Otherwise people, because if people don't look at you, if they're like at the cash register or something and they don't look up, they might, sometimes I get called sir.
Oh, I see.
And then they look up and they apologize and then I feel silly.
Is it because you're scruffy? You're really scruffy as well?
Scruffy, no. It's because I'm just, they see the height and they assume male.
Right.
It's happened to me many times. And the first time it happened was in grade two when my mother made me get a boy haircut and I had earrings in. I don't know if I've said this before. And I was at the shopping center and these little boys who were twins and I was in grade two and they were just having an argument over whether I was a boy or a girl right in front of me. Well, they've got earrings, so it has to be a girl. And the other one's like, no, because boys can have earrings too. And then they finally just asked me and I was just mortified.
Yes. Oh, dear.
That was a tangent. Went off on there. Yeah,
yes, so, but it's obviously something you still haven't dealt with.
I haven't. That's right. I've suppressed that. So I'll need to probably go through some sessions with my psychologist about that. Not really. Okay. Now, pop over the put on the music for the autistic moment.
Oh, hang on a second. I just got to flick through the collection and see if I can find it. Oh, here it is.
Play.
Autistic moments.
Okay.
What? Okay. Well, I was. Moments! This is not really a moment. It's actually an autistic time period.
Oh, that's interesting.
Yes, it is, isn't it? Early motherhood for me. Okay. So I don't know that I made a lot of friends because my baby, this is my first baby, he slept very well. Like, I think there was only once or twice ever that I would put him down and he stirred. Mm-hmm. He would just go to sleep. And he breastfed extremely easily, like straight away and all the time. Like I'd be in line at the bank and I'd just pop him under there. No one would even know. Yeah, it wasn't, I wasn't pulling the boobs out, but underneath, like no one would even know it was happening. I was just, could do it anywhere. And so, but when I was at mother's group.
Good afternoon, sir. How can I help you today?
Exactly. That was a good one. Good job. But I, you know, I didn't think about it because I was reading an article by Claire Stevens, who's just had a baby and on the Mamma Mia website. And she was, yeah, just saying, you don't do this, you don't do that. And she was like, you don't say to people at mother's group that your baby is sleeping well. You don't say that breastfeeding was easy. And I'm like, oh, I did those things. And it explains why some of the girls or mothers hated me. And I wasn't, they would have thought I was saying these things to be really smarmy, the right word, just really like shove it in their faces. But it was just fact. I was like, oh, no, no, he just goes straight down. And, oh, you know, I'm getting sleep. It's, you know, all those sorts of things. And then I also said to a friend after I had the baby who she wasn't going to have kids and I was saying it was the best thing that's ever happened to me. It's changed my life. And she cried.
Oh, yeah.
Right in front of me, right? And I hadn't, but it was true. But I didn't have that filter. And also just I lost weight very easily straight after the baby. Like a few weeks later, people were like, you can't even tell. But they're all just facts to me. I wasn't yet gloating or showing off to people, but it had to have come across that way.
Yeah, it's very autistic.
Yes. Had I known, it would have been okay. I guess I could have told them if I'd known, but then they still probably wouldn't have necessarily been my friend because they still don't want to hear it because they're sleep deprived, exhausted, stressed. But you just need to think about things a little bit.
Funny, I did actually say that to some new parents that we had dinner with, 5 weeks ago or something, and they were saying exactly the same thing. And I said two things. Firstly, I said what you just said is that I wouldn't be telling anyone in your mother's group that if I were you.
Yeah.
And the second thing I said to Jenny afterwards, not to them, I said, that's fine and dandy. I'm glad everything's working out for them now. But at some point, it's all going to be fall into pieces for them. It doesn't like at some particular age, at some point, it's going to happen. So great. Yeah. It's happening well for you now. But part of me is like, I hope I'm around to see you fall apart at some point later when your kid's not coming home or screaming or whatever else it's going to be.
Yes. Do you wish those things upon me too? The thing is that it ended up being that, well, he was autistic and so the psychologist was like, well, because he was in his own little world because, like, I could, like, leave him on the ground and walk up and get a drink, like, in the group, in mother's group, and other people's babies, like your baby, Eloise would not, like you couldn't leave her for a second. Mm-hmm. And if she was hungry right that second.
Yep.
He was just really relaxed, but it was not really relaxed. It was actually just in his own little world.
Yeah. Well, I never get judgy with that sort of stuff because, as I said, I like to think bigger, and at some point they're going to struggle.
Yeah. Yep, that's true. Well, that was an interesting end to our podcast, but hopefully everybody enjoys the Nicholas interview that you did. Please give us feedback. Let me know if you think Dan does well without me or not.
Oh, and also go across to, can you find Nicholas on Facebook and let's give him a plug.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, you're going to put all these things in the show notes.
But no one looks in the notes, so we should say it on the actual audio.
Oh, you want? Yeah, you did say it already in the interview.
I didn't say he's – well, but he also has different pages, doesn't he? So there's Nicholas McMahill, but yeah. He also has some other groups, but I think he has to invite you to those.
Oh, he's got a family one. I haven't been invited.
Oh, there you go. Well, if you want to find him on Facebook, it's facebook.com/NicholasM26, and that's where you'll find him.
That's probably his private page.
Well, you can just send a friend request. I think he'd be more than happy to accept and say hello. Okay.
All right. Sounds good. Well, poor Nicholas has just, I think, fractured his foot.
Yes. He has, hasn't he?
So maybe he will just be sitting there for a while and he'd be happy to have some new friends.
Absolutely. He's pinned a post for his YouTube channel as well. So he does some interviews and so forth on there.
Great.
For people to check out.
Excellent. All right. Well, I'll catch you next time.
I always feel like there needs to be something else at the end when we do this. And I've had to try and find things.
Like, what do you want me to say?
Well, I don't know. No, I've done my big, you know, the big recording with all the edits and stuff at the start, so I'm not going to do that again at the end.
Okay, so I'll just say, okay, great to be in everybody's ears this week. We both are looking forward to next week. We have some big, exciting things happening in the future. Do you like hearing our interviews, or would you prefer if it's just Dan and I talking? Give us your feedback on our socials or email us at, Dan, you can say the email address.
LateToTheParty@gmail.com.
Yep, and Dan will check that.
I will. And I'm going to do a romper room send-off, which was an old kids show when I was young, where at the end she had a little sort of like a magnifying glass.
Miss Helena.
Yes. And she would look in, like look straight at the camera, and she'd say goodbye to particular people, and we always waited for our name to be called out. So I'm going to say I'm not going to look at any particular people who are actually party poopers. I'm just going to take guesses. I'm going to say goodbye, Michael, and goodbye to Troy, and goodbye, Hannah, and Mary, and Tinkerbell, and Hoisin, and Berry, and now I'm just doing ice creams.
Matilda,
Joe, and Matthew.
She never said goodbye to me. Anyway, it's okay.